It's a schoset and honor to be here today. Every parshas to save. We got a lot to do. And like we always do, we're going to ask a couple of questions. Try to understand this remarkable parsha. Again, a parsha full of details. We started off last week's parsha with Truma. The whole idea of the Mishkan. The idea of Asuli Mikdosh V'Shachati B'Soichom. And now we're going to go into more details. More details of the Big Day Kahuna. More details of what the Mishkan represented. And we're going to ask a couple questions. And then we're going to come out with that major Yisod. And I think this, obviously I think everything I say is important. But this Yisod is something that I developed a lot with my guys this week in Shir. A lot of interesting questions, different discussions, different Shiurim that came into Yeshiva that spoke about this topic a little, and we're going to try to address it that we could all grow and build together on our lives. The Torah starts off in Perek of Zion, Pasuk Beis, Parshas Tetzaveh, Ve'atot Tetzaveh B'nei Yisrael, and you will command the children of Israel, V'yikhu Eilecho, and you should take Shemen Zayizoch. You should take clear olive oil, kasis lemaor, crushed for illumination, lahalos ner tamid, to light a lamp tamid continuously. Right in the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, the Baal HaTurim picks out beautifully famous Moshe Rabbeinu's name is omitted from this parsha. The first time after we are introduced to the great Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Shemos, our greatest leader, our greatest Navi that ever lived. And in this week's Parsha, Parshas Tetzaveh, his name is not found. He even goes as far as saying, Ve'atah, and you will command Israel. What do you mean, Ve'atah? You said, Moshe. And the obvious question is, why? Why in this week's Parsha specifically is it not mentioned? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, in the next couple of Parshas, he takes one for the team. And Hashem says, listen, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. And I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. I'm going to wipe them out. And Moshe says, you're going to wipe them out? Take my name. Emcha, take my name out of this book. Take my name out of the Chumash. And says the Baal HaTurim, since he said that, every word's got to be careful with your words. So says the Baal HaTurim, his name was omitted from this Parsha. Question one. Why this Parsha? Question two. We're talking about in this, the main theme of this week's Parsha is the Big Day Kahuna. The intricacies. I can't even say that word. The details. Let's say the details. The details of everything about the Kohen Gadol and all the different things in the Kahuna and the Epigadol, which we'll talk about. But right in the beginning of the Parsha, what does it say? It says, it talks about the Menorah. Shemen Zayizach, Katis Lama'or, Lalos, Ner, Tamid. What's going on here? That was last week's Parsha. Well, we spoke about the Kalim, right? Last week, we all remember. Hopefully, probably not, but I'll review it for you. Chas v'shalom, we all remember. Sometimes we just need a little chazara just to remind ourselves. We ask Gevaldi questions because we wanted to know which one represents Tyra. Was it the Aron? Or was it the Menorah? We built a big Yisod. The Yisod was that it's about the Amelus. It's about the hard work. How much effort am I going to put into it? And then Hashem gives us that special matana. The menorah represents the matana. Because it was came in. It was one block of gold. We didn't have to work on it so much. It was a matana. Right? We gave all the rayas and whole shtickle tied it. I got some good feedback from that year. The Olam liked it. They liked it. Again, representing my grandfather, Reb Bamzer, whose Yahrzeit was last week, who lived that life. And we're all trying to live that life. The idea of Amelus, hard work with the right energy. But the obvious question is, we're talking about Big Day Kahuna, so we're talking about Big Day Kahuna, so why is the menorah here? We spoke about the menorah last week. Question two. Question three. It says very interesting right at the beginning of Perek of Ches. It says that we're gonna Aaron HaKohen was given the Bigdei Kahuna. Fascinating medrash. The medrash says like this. You would think, you know, you go through all of sibling rivalry, right? And we all love our siblings, some more, some less. And sibling rivalry was brought in the Torah because everything's from the Torah. We think we invented the world. Hashem invented the world. Hashem invented the Torah. He looked into the Torah, created the world, whatever that means. But the world is the Torah and the Torah is Hashem. And we know that the Torah tells us that Aaron HaKohen was zeichet to the Kohanim Gedolim. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu for 80 years didn't come back. And all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu's coming back. And what should be the obvious, you know, from all kinds, and the Hevels and the brothers and the Shvatim and all these stories about brothers not getting along, we would think that Aaron should not be happy. And the Pasuk tells us in Shemais that Aaron was so excited, his samach belibo. Says the Galadic Medrash, when Moshe Rabbeinu found out that he was not going to be the Kohen Gadol, Moshe Rabbeinu said, me? Why am I not the Kohen Gadol? Listen, Moshe, your brother was not upset. Your brother was not upset when you took the leadership role. So why the Medrash, again, Chas V'Shalom, we're not, you know, we're not rocking Moshe Rabbeinu's personality, but what was it all about? What was Moshe Rabbeinu upset about? Does it make sense? He should have been upset that he wasn't going Gadol. Give it to his brother. But what's the lashon that it says by Kuna Gadoilo? It says in Pasuk Beis, Chokas Beis, Vasita Bigdei Kodesh Laharon Achicha Lekavod Ulitifores. For your glory and for your splendor. What's that all about? What's this big day kahuna? What's lechavod ulitifares? What is it? And we know that the Gemara tells us in Erechim, Gevaldik Gemaras, Tezayin, Yitzayin, it talks about that the big day, that all of the begadim were a kapara. All the begadim, all those eight begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore, that the Pesukim talk about, the choshen, the breastplate, the ephod, and the me'il, Uktonis Tashbeis, all the different things, the mitznefes, the hat, the abnes, the belt, and the tzitz, the crown. They were all a kapara for different midos. The Gemara says in Erechin that it was a kapara for gaiva. We thought, you thought you're so great. No, you have to be mechaper for gaiva. And then, very interesting, the Gemara is found in other places also, in Beitza, on different places. We know that when we talk about our midas, our character traits, it says, Oz kinomer, we should be bold, we should be assertive, like a leopard. Ratz kitzvi, we should be running like a deer. V'gibor ka'ari, and we should be strong like a lion. But then next part, it says that Azus, this boldness, is a bad midah. So is this boldness, this being assertive, a good midah? And then it says at the end, Az li Gehenom, that I'm going to be so assertive, I'm going to go to the place down there. You know what I'm saying? So which one is it? Is Azus that we should be Az like a nomer, like a leopard? Or should we not? What's going on? It's confusing. What is this mean of Azus? What are the meanings at all? We all have different character traits, which we'll talk about. That's why it gets a little juicy. Because we're all different people. We all know we're different people, I hope. Sometimes we're a little delusional. We don't understand that. But we have to understand that. But what is this mean of Azus? What is Azus about? What is being bold? Is it a good midah or is it a bad midah? And how are the Big Day Kahuna kapara for all these midas? So again, we got a lot to do, like always. A lot of questions, but we got to come out with the insight. Let's just review. Question number one, the most obvious question, probably everyone's going to talk about it. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name omitted in the Parsha? Why specifically this parsha? Question two, we said again, just a little chazorah. Chazorah never hurt anyone. Question two is, why is the menorah? We're talking about the inside, the details of the Mishkan, the Bigdei Kahuna. Why is the menorah here? And question three, what's going on with this medrash? Moshe Rabbeinu is upset that he's not a Kohen Gadol. Listen, just give it to your brother. Question four is, what is this idea of Azus? How do we look at the Midas? How is the Bigdei Kahuna a kaponet? An atonement for our Midas. And lastly, I didn't put it as a question, I went scary 1-5, it scares people. But lastly, we know that the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that we need to make Torah Keva. And at the end of the parsha, we go into different karbonis. We talk about the Ketores, the incense, one of the greatest karbonis that was brought twice, and it says Tamid. And then we talk about the carbon tummy that was brought all the time. And then the menorah, and also the lotion of the menorah that we quoted in Pasuk Chav Aleph, right? It says, La'los ner tamid, right? That the idea of lighting the lamp continuously, they only did it at night. What does this tamidus mean? What does tamidus mean? Does tamidus mean always doing it? Is there something more about tamidus? So let's try to understand what's going on here. I opened up a very interesting conversation with different students, spoke about it. I started learning, spoke about before, in the pre-shir, before we break up into Chavrusa, and then we have the Gemara shir. I started learning a Gevaldik Sefer, translated into English. It's great. Moshe Weinberger gave a lot of shiurim. I remember when I was a bacher, I used to listen. Now he has thousands and thousands of shiurim. Amish helping Klal Yisrael, the Rav of Ish Kodesh, and he has a whole series just on this called the Chovos HaTalmidim. The Pius Nesser Rebbe, they found his Svarim, one of the Gevaldik, again Hasidish, but he has so much, it's Hasidish, Litvish, it's everything entwined. And it's Gevaldik, it was written 80, 90 years ago, and it talks about so many things that are so relevant today. It talks about the self-centeredness problem, which we've spoken about a lot. And then the topic that we were talking about this week is, how do you get to know yourself? How do you understand yourself? What is your makeup? How do you figure yourself out? What is the taklis? Because we all have different meters, we all have different character traits. But how does one get to know himself? How does he understand what makes him tick? How does he understand what makes him do the things that he does? And how does one understand himself? So in this beautiful piece, he talks about how we all have strengths. And we all do have strengths. And we can't forget about focusing on our strengths. A lot of times we beat ourselves up because we don't focus enough on our strengths. And again, we all need to be complimented in a real way. Really hit details. And whenever you compliment someone, you're helping them and you're helping yourself also. There are some people that are not happy with themselves and they can't compliment others. It's hard for them. But complimenting people in a real way, if you're going to be fake, person's going to know that. But if you compliment someone in a real way, it's also going to help you. Because it's going to help you look at the good at someone else. But we also need to compliment ourselves. We don't focus so much on the good things that we do. But guess what? We also have weaknesses. We also have things that bring us down. And we have different traits that we are given, whether they're inborn or we pick them up ourselves. There are different traits that bring us down. So an obvious person, if he's going to want to work on himself, what should he do? He should focus on his strengths. But a lot of times, a person that's weak in an area, he doesn't want to go there. He's scared. It's a defense mechanism. He doesn't want to take on the challenge. He doesn't realize that the taklis of the bria, the taklis of a person's life, is to work on the strengths and is to work on our weaknesses. And again, we all have different tempos. We all have different natures. But the whole goal of life is to create that balance. For example, if someone has a time management problem and it's hard for him to get himself together. So most people, again, if you're running a successful business, right, and you want to be do well, and all the whole idea of a business is to profit, obviously, is to make the cash, make the money, obviously in a good way, but it's to profit. So a person, if he's very bad at time management, so then he should find, again, he should focus on his strengths, and then if he's able to run a big enough company, he should find someone that could take care of that area. That'll be a smart thing. Not always does a person have the means to do it. Not always does he have the ability to do it sometimes. But guess what? In life, when we're dealing on our own character traits, you can't take your weakness and give it to someone else. That's a little strange. What does that even mean? So you got to focus on your weaknesses. But you have to recognize your weaknesses. A lot of times we don't realize what our weaknesses are. And sometimes you need a Rebbe, sometimes you need an outside party, sometimes you need a parent, sometimes you need a spouse, and sometimes you don't want to hear from that parent or spouse, I hear that. Don't tell me what to do, right? But sometimes you need an outside party that's going to help you figure out how to make yourself better. Because it's hard. As they say in Halacha, you're no geya b'davar. Just like you're not allowed to testify about yourself, because you're always going to lean to your side. You're not going to testify about your siblings or your parents, because it's called negiyus. It's nogeya bidavar. So since you're going to be nogeya bidavar, you're not going to do that. So too, a lot of times, we don't really focus on our weaknesses, because it's hard for us. So therefore, we forget to look. But if a person wants greatness, and a person wants godless, he needs to just also realize that he might have weaknesses. But the more a person works on those weaknesses, that is his struggling point. As Rav Dessler writes, that is Nikudas HaBechira, because he's making choices. Do I work on it or do I not? And it's hard. And it's hard. Now this Yisod, that we're in this world to grow. We're in this world to look at our strengths and also look at our weaknesses. We could try to answer some of these questions. We wanted to know Azus. Azus, the idea of being assertive, being bold, being strong. Is that a good midah or not? Says the Halakha, Orchus Tzadikim, in his Hakdama, that each midah has a good thing and a bad thing to it. You could use the midah in a good way, or you could use the midah in a bad way. If you're going to use the azus, as in a good way of being assertive, because you need this thing to get done, so that's great. But if you're going to use your azus as putting something on someone and making it hard for them just because you want it, that's not good. That's what the Mishnah is saying. We need to be as kinomer. We need to be strong like a leopard and go for things. But at the same time, you can't always use your azus. Because the whole, your life is about a balance. When to use your midas and when not to use your midas. That's what it's all about. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest leader that ever lived. Moshe Rabbeinu was about godless. He was an Eved Hashem, which he spoke about a couple of weeks, what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, his main idea, Moses, was anava, was humility. Realizing that the Ribbono of Shalom's in charge. Realizing that I'm just a messenger of Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's Parsha, which is all about making a kapara for our midas, that all the big day kahuna, all the different things, are to work on our different character traits. Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the greatest anav, Mikol Adam, is not in the parsha. Why? Because it's the Rabbeinu Shalom giving us the ability to work through our midas. Moshe Rabbeinu realized that. It's not him! Right? We know in the Haggadah, Moshe Rabbeinu's name's not there. It's very fascinating. This week, Zion Adar, Moshe, it's his yahrzeit. There's no focus, there's no holiday on Moshe Rabbeinu when he was born and when he died. There's nothing about it. Why? Because in Judaism, we don't focus on our leaders that in that degree. In other religions, they do. Their birthdays and when, right, all the different things. But in our religion, we're focusing on what? On Hashem. And since this is the parsha of midas, of working on ourselves, of finding the balance, but at the same time realizing that we have certain midas that we need to help and we can't just give up. Oh, I'm a guy that's angry. Oh, since I'm a guy that's angry, I can't change it. What? You gotta work. That's your struggling point. You have to know yourself. You have to know why you're losing it when things don't work out your way. Which is a whole separate topic, because you might think you're Hashem. Okay, it's a problem. We all think we're Hashem to some extent, but we're not Hashem, obviously, because Hashem runs the world. And after the man of Esrim, we're not going to be in this world anymore. We'll be in Shemayim, God willing, learning the Torah with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the only way to do that is if we build ourselves here. So the whole tachlis, the whole purpose is to build ourselves. Is to realize that we have strengths and to realize we have weaknesses. And within those midos, we can make ourselves great. To work on it. Right? I told the story about, you know, me waking up. I got out of myself. It was hard. And guess what? I haven't done it in a little while. I'm giving myself muscle. Because it's hard. But a person breaks his midas and works on it. And we all know the areas that we're struggling. Sometimes we just close our eyes to it. But the more we work at it, the greater we're going to be in this world. The greater we're going to look at ourselves. The big day kahuna was this idea of kavod and tiferes. Says the great Chassam Sofer, Rav Moshe Schreiber. He lived in 1762 to 1839, one of the great gedolim. And he says, it doesn't make sense. Kavod means honor, and tiferes means humility. So says the great Chassam Sofer, this idea we're saying. Because it's the balance. Honor. Kavod, what are we doing the kavod for ourselves? No, for the Ribbono Shel Olam. This kavod with tiferes, the humility, they intertwine. They seem like they contradict, but they intertwine. Says the great Maharal, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, the great Maharal of Lowy from Prague, right? He lived in 1520, 1609, unbelievable. The Maharal of Prague with the Gorari, he wrote so much stuff. And he tells us on the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah tells us in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Chavches, Hakina Vataiva, jealousy. That kavod, this honor, that taiva, take a person out of this world, says the Maharal, like we're saying now. You're right, those midas are not good. But guess what? Those midas also are keeping the world going. Because it's this balance. Again, as we're saying, you need to understand yourself. If you don't understand yourself, how are you going to work on yourself if you don't know what you're... It's like, I always give the mushroom, the guy is a basketball player. And he has a good jump shot, but he can't dribble. So what does he do? He just keeps on taking jump shots? Yeah, you should focus on your jump shot. But if you want to be the complete picture, if you want to be the man on the court, if you want to be great at basketball, you got to focus on your dribbling. And you got to work at it. It's hard. But if you want, yeah, it's not going to be easy. But that's your struggling point. So most people just say, I'm not a good dribbler. But if you want to be great at something, you got to attack all areas of it. Says the great Maharal, Hakina, jealousy. Jealousy is not good. But you know when jealousy is not good? When you see someone and they have something, you're like, I don't want that guy to have it. But the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that there is a good jealousy. When I see people steiging and I want that for myself, that's jealous. But that's good jealousy. That's kina soifin tarbe chachma. So the same mida of jealousy, we just used it for good. Taiva's not good. But at the same time, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos and Brachos that if there was no sense of taiva, there would not be a world. Because people have to use their taiva in the right way, in a kosher way, obviously. But that's why you're able to have children. Because there's a taiva involved. And COVID. COVID's not good. COVID, people know the COVID seekers. That's not good. But if I'm doing the COVID for the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not doing it. Sometimes it's hard to decipher. You have to know within yourself. But if I'm doing it not for myself, but for the covenant of Hashem, that's godless. So again, this Yisoid, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, the Gemara says that if you love blood, then don't be a killer. I happen to not love blood. I'll tell you a quick story. I haven't told any stories yet. I had a couple, but you know, sometimes I just go on about the stories. I wanted to say it's a little tight, so I tightened everything all together. When my daughter, she got hurt. My wife called Baruch Hashem. It was during Ben, not Baruch Hashem, she got hurt. But it was during Ben started. I was learning. My wife called me. Our daughter got hurt in her eye. We got to run. We got to go. We got to go to the emergency room. I'm running to the emergency room. Meet my wife there, and she got a really bad cut right near her eye, and they had to give her stitches. So me and my wife were holding her down. I don't know if they do this in America. It's looked like, you know, I put my kid in the straight coat and was holding her down. I don't know what was going on. She was screaming, and all the doctors said, whatever you do, don't look. Whatever you do, don't look. And guess what I did? I looked. And then I have a little issue that, you know, sometimes pass out from blood. Okay? And all of a sudden I turn to the doctor and my wife's looking at me and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I have to hit the floor. She's like, yeah, but we're trying to give our daughter stitches on the eye. I'm like, oh, I know, I'm gonna hit the floor. And I knew what I was doing because I was afraid of blood. So this Gemara does not apply to me. But if you love blood, don't be a killer. Don't be a killer. Do bris milah. I cannot do bris milah. I remember my friend, he was the moyo. He's like, do you want to give me the knife? Hand it over to me. There's a minute. I'm like, no. Do you want me to run out of this room? I don't want to pass out on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Okay, listen, we all have different issues and problems, but I don't want to pass out on the floor. Not a good thing, okay? My son's bris. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So what are we saying right now? Not really sure. Oh, yeah. So we're talking about that if you have a good need, do it for good. If you like blood, be a shaykhik, says the Gemara. That's his yisod also. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wanted to be the Kohen Gadol, it wasn't bad. It was the jealousy of, I want more Torah, I want to be the Kohen Gadol. Lichavod u'l'tiferes, I want to serve you, Hashem. I want to serve you. That is jealousy, good jealousy. And again, you know, we all have to work on our midas. But again, this is the idea. And lastly, why the menorah? Why the menorah first? Because a person, the Bar Tanua writes in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai. Why is that? Everyone's asking, why is that in the beginning of Pirkei Avos? Because, you know, people could think that midas character traits, oh, we're all born with that. No, everything is from the Torah. Everything. Don't think anything's not from the Torah. Everything is from the Torah. And how do I know that? I have menorah. Menorah, as we said last week, represents the Torah. So you go to the Torah to understand things. You go to Sifrei Musar. You go to the Talmidei Chachamim. Again, all these Gavaldic speakers. And I love some of them, right? TED Talks, unbelievable, some of these people. But it's all coming from the Torah. Don't be fooled. They're good people. We can listen to them. And they say good things. But realize that everything's coming from the Torah. Because Midas come from the Torah. And lastly, what does it mean, Tomid? So Gavaldik, Rav Lopiansky, Rosh Yeshiva, Greater Rashi, came to Yeshiva and he said Gavaldik is sowed. It's intertwined a little, not so much, but a little. That, you know what Keva means? Keva doesn't mean about just doing. It's about what is my focal point. when a guy is trying to make money, make cash, and trying to work, what am I making the cash for? For the cash? For the coven? Or is the cash a means to get to helping my family? When I'm learning Torah, Tarasko Keva, is it because I do everything else to make the Torah Keva? Because, okay, maybe I can't learn 24 hours, but is my whole life revolved around getting to the main point of Torah Keva? Or is it I just have the Torah and I fit it in? Our whole tachlis of life is to make Torah real. Everything is in the Torah. That's what Tumen means. It doesn't even mean sometimes twice a day, once a week, but it means your focal point is the Keva. And our focal point needs to be connecting to the Ribbono Shel'olam. Our focal point needs to be realizing that we all have strengths. Amazing strengths. We're gevaldik. We're amazing people. And we have amazing things and we're doing amazing things. But also to look at those weaknesses and don't look over. Focus on them. It's hard. It's hard work. Just to end with the following last story. I told my shir a couple days ago, I remember when I was in high school, I used to hit the gym. What's up? What's up? I used to hit the gym. And one day I did this like, no one sees what I'm doing, but the other one sees a little bit. I took my arm and I was working on my triceps, whatever they call it. And this big Russian guy came and he's like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm doing my triceps. And he said to me, you are not. So yeah, some people will get defensive and be like, all right, I'm doing it. Back off, man. I've been doing this for a year and a half. But, you know, I want to grow. I want to, you know, I see him. He's ripped. I'm not. So he's obviously doing something right. I'm not. So I'm like, yeah, you want to show me? You want to show me what I'm doing wrong? And he showed me, and I was moving my arm the wrong way. And, like, after the sixth time I did it, I started screaming. And he said, no, it works. That's what life's about. It's hard. Like last week, I'm aimless. It's hard. When we realize that we have greatness and also weaknesses, but when we focus on those weaknesses, and sometimes you need an outside party to tell you, sometimes we're no gay b'davar, but when we focus on our weaknesses, greatness is there. Let us learn Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Anam Mikol Adam. He didn't put his name in this week's parasha. The name wasn't there because he realized that it's all about Hashem. It's not about me. The care I'm an Anav. I'm humble because I know that everything is stemming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let us grow. Let us use our midas in the right way. Let us use our character traits in the right way. And let us come one with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let us grow in our midas. Let us grow in our Torah. Let's make the Torah Keva. Make the Torah real. Make our life around the Torah. Make our life around Hashem. And we'll just get closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam.